Reading from the Brihadbhagavatamrita, chapter 7, text 88. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yasibhyastadrisham Agyam. Tasya kanya vichakshana utaya marjayantya gyam svaya tvaraya tatsasagata. Upon hearing this order from her maidservants, the intelligent Satyabhama got up, bathed, and quickly came. Wait, which one is it? One second. First. No, it's 89. Stambe tan stambe tar yapya deham swam stikala japayanvita. Samlakshya prabhuna prokta samrabhaveshitasputam. She hid herself behind a pillar and stood there filled with shame and fear. Krishna noticed her and, still angry, spoke to her in a clear voice. Although Satyabhama hid herself so that Krishna could not see her, he smelled her unique fragrance and noticed other subtle signs of her presence. Satyabhama often had fits of jealousy, but now she feared that by showing her temper at an unsuitable moment, she might have gone too far. The Supreme Lord's service should never be performed haphazardly, but always with careful attention to satisfying him and just what he wants and at the time he wants it. Om Gyanatimarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Daksurimalatam Yena Asmaisi Gurave Namaha. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhayebhyascha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from Sri Vrindavan Dham. This will be my last class for some time until I return to Vrindavan in 6 months or so. On Wednesday, I'll be traveling at the time of the class back to America. And I explained before, in my Wednesday class, certainly, that this has been a particularly edifying experience in the Dham, especially the richness of association. Every association, Sangha, is everything to us. We advance by Sangha. learned by Sangha, as Lord Chaitanya, when he was taking prasad in Mathura at the Sonadiya Brahmin's house. And the Sonadiya class is a Vaishya class that's addicted to sinful activities. And the Brahmins that guide that class are not considered high-class Brahmins. And according to Smriti Shastra, a sannyasi shouldn't take his food there. But this particular Sonadiya Brahmin was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri and Lord Chaitanya. When he was dancing in ecstasy before the Keshavaji deity in Mathura, he saw the enthusiasm and effulgence of this Brahmin and really asked him, where is this bhava come from? Because the bhava or the mood that one has, it comes from his teachers. Sisha means one, disciple means one who takes the mood of his teacher. So the disciples represent the teacher. And especially if there's extraordinary devotional attributes, it reflects on the extraordinary devotional attributes of the teacher. Well, the Brahmin mentioned that it was Madhavendra Puri came to Mathura. Of course, Madhavendra Puri is the guru of Lord Chaitanya's guru, and he is the root of the Gaudiya Vaishnav line. It's him who introduced the bhava and mood of Radha and Krishna into the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So Lord Chaitanya said, well, should he eat there or not? And then he said, no, I will eat there because Madhavendra Puri ate there. And yad acharate shreshtas tad tad eve tadojana. Whatever great men do, then common men follow. So the great man is Madhavendra Puri, and Lord Chaitanya said, yes, because he did it, I will follow. And then he said that the Dharma Sar, the essence of religious principles, is the vyavahar, the behavior of the great souls, because they exemplify the principles in the Shastra. And their life is a practical application of the principles of the Shastra. Shastra is not enough. Acharya Purusho Veda. One needs the Acharya. Acharya means one who selects. It's just like if you have a pharmacy. It doesn't help the sick person. There must be a doctor to negotiate between the storehouse of medicine and the condition of the patient to pick the appropriate medicine for the patient. So you need a Acharya. And the Shastra. Shastra is a compendium of spiritual truth. But which is the truth that applies to you in your particular circumstance? That is exemplified and taught by the Vaishnava. So spiritual life means the Vaishnava. And I was speaking of Gunagrai March today, the extraordinary souls, the extraordinary spiritual heroes that reside in the Dham. Today I went to my next-door neighbor to take darshan of the deities, the Radha Govinda deities. They're exquisite. And to see how this person, both at her temple here, which is actually the deities of her Guru Maharaj, Srila Indradyumna Swami, and the temple is serving from morning to evening, selflessly, and that is bhakti. Bhakti is causeless, ahoitiki, apatiyata. Why is bhakti causeless? Because there's no reason to love outside of love itself. If there's a reason, I love because I get, then it's not love. To see the purity of the selfless heart, that's why, and done properly, marriage is a healthy institution. Because once you enter marriage, now your life is about others. Your life is about children, not about your selfish desire. Actually, Niranjan Swami was passing through, and I saw him, and he told me that he was in Bombay with Srila Radhanath Swami, who's empowered and increasingly empowered to preach Krishna consciousness. And he was at an interfaith conference with an imam and three cardinals. And he said how his speech really touched people's hearts, and even the cardinals were clapping. But, you know, it was about Dharma. And Dharma means to do what's right above what may be your personal comforts and desires. And Radhanath Swami told a story where I think his father or something tells, I don't love your mother anymore or something. And it really struck him in the heart. And then he heard them talking, and then he heard his father or his mother say, anyway, for the sake of the children, we will stay together. For the sake of the children, we will stay together. So, to live for others and to live for principled life. Anyway, Dharma, the essence of Dharma, is the behavior of the great soul. So, living here in Vrindavan is just a wonderful experience in that way. And I spent 2 days in Govardhan with Buri John. And then we took lunch at Shamdas, and we stayed a little bit in the evening. We walked on the inner path of Govardhan, the opposite way, which is the most beautiful part, which goes from Jatipur to Govindakund. In the evening, very, very peaceful. But on the way, we stopped at one lady saint, at Shamdas, a lady that came to Vrindavan when she was 14 years old, must be about 40 and stayed, and makes all the garlands for the deities in Jatipur, spends 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 hours a day, goes around Govardhan every day, and, you know, reads Bhagavad and feeds sadhus. So Buri John asked her a question, very simple and very, very humble, and asked her questions because she cooks for 10 sadhus every day. Says, what if 50 came? She said, it's all Giriraj's mercy anyway. In other words, she doesn't identify with being the doer. She does what's God's bidding, and if God asks her to do more, she does more. She has faith that God will act through her to accomplish that. So very nice. And then one Brij Basu friend, excuse me if I talk a little bit more about Brij today because I'm leaving. And when you love something, then you can't stop but talk about it. And an old Brij Basu friend for 3 or 4 years been invited to his house. And he has a temple right at the beginning of Lloyd Bazaar. Must have passed it 100 times. And it's an old temple. And they're the descendants of the disciples of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And we went out there. I went there with a few people to take prasadam. And I had a very interesting experience that because I'm leaving Vrindavan, I want blessings to serve. So I went to Radha Damodar with two or three people that I'm hosting. And it's a very simple prikram. We sit at the, we first start walking, we go to Radha Damodar, and we go to Jiva Goswami Samadhi, and we chant around, and we pray. So Jiva Goswami Samadhi, I was praying for some inspiration in understanding the Shastra. And immediately I had this thought that when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I should do is read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then we went to this person's house, and it's a beautiful little temple with that Rajasthani open courtyard, and these deities have been worshipped since the time of Krishnadas Kaviraj. And they take me to meet their father, and he shows me that they donated 1,000 books. They took out the catalog to the Vrindavan Research Institute, really old manuscripts. And I'm looking through all the books. And then he says, but there's one book that we didn't donate. He said, it's the original Madhya Leela of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj. They took out two or three keys and opened this cabinet and put it on my head. So that's inspirational. Let me get to the story today. And as you know, Narada has been searching for the topmost devotee. I don't think I have a pretty steady audience yet. And he's gone to Dwarka. And he witnesses this incredible scene in Dwarka where Krishna's and is taken to another Vrindavan, the replica of Vrindavan, to relieve the cause of his unconsciousness, which is the separation from the residents of Vrindavan. And in that facsimile of Vrindavan, when he sees this statue of Radharani, who he thinks is Radharani's love for him, love for her, overwhelms him and he opens his heart to a degree that the residents of Dwarka never saw before, but they're just, the queens are hiding behind the tree. Then Krishna revives his consciousness. He understands that actually now I'm the king of Dwarka, a very important business to do. And we're at the part where he heads back to the palace. And Padmavati, Kamsa's wife, mocked him. He said, you know, you wretched women, you should just humbly serve the gopis because you're nothing compared to them. And we saw that. We saw the extent. We saw the extent that their love brought out Krishna's heart. Many, many times I said when God takes the highest position, he covers his side as a child. We all have the child in us, even if we're older and we have a mother, there's a side in us as a child or a son or a daughter. And if it's a good relationship, it's a very intimate and beautiful side. And some have the side as a lover. And some have the side as a friend. The intimate, where you, you're not restrained in giving yourself fully. So the intimacy of relationship brings out deeper and deeper sides of us. And the deeper the relationship is with God, the more intimate the relationship is with God, the more God reveals himself. And that's what Narada is seeking. He's seeking who is the devotee that can invoke the most of Krishna's heart and Krishna's beauty. So the queen saw a deeper revelation of the heart of Krishna than they ever saw. And when Krishna comes back to the palace, all the queens are very happy for him because they have such pure love. And they even admit that the gopis' love is high without any envy. And they understand because Krishna is their husband, their exchanges with him are inhibited to some degree by societal rules and obligations in that relationship, where the gopis, who are just Krishna's lovers, have bhakti which is uninhibited and more forceful, and therefore draws out a more intimate and beautiful side of Krishna. So only Satyabhama of all the queens, because her mood with Krishna in service to Krishna is a little bit of that type of contrary love. And again, I should mention at this point, and it's very, very important, that you can't just hear these stories through the frame of reference you have based on your experience, how the forms of these relationships operate in the world. Otherwise, you'll misunderstand them. You have to either see them through tattva, philosophical understanding, understanding that although these relationships have similar forms to the forms of these relationships in the world, the bhava or mood is completely different. Because although there's intensity in this conjugal mood, the intensity here is for the pleasure of the other person, without a tinge of desire for stimulation of pleasure for oneself. So either you have to understand it from the platform of tattva, philosophy, or from the standpoint of bhava or rasa. In other words, some experience of devotion that enables you to see these pastimes through the eyes of devotion. And what you see when you see these forms are not any not anything to do with lust, but you see a perfection and an intensity of the devotion and selfless love of which you may have experienced a drop by the mercy of Guru Vaishnav and the Dham, and perhaps especially the Dham. Especially the Dham. Yeah, it's so nice. I mean, it's really amazing. I found this walk near the temple, and it's almost like an obstacle course. But I get to the other side, I get to these flower gardens, it's so beautiful. Splash of color and trees and forest. Vrindavan, as you would expect to see Vrindavan after reading about Krishna's pastimes in the Krishna book. And there's a way, you have to kind of go through these this flower beds and open up these secret gates, and then you wind up on this little mud path the parallels. And then you walk along, and on the right, on the left-hand side is the most lush green leading up to the forest before the Jamuna River. And on your right is forest and flower gardens. And you just open these little creaky wood gates, and I visit the families, and the so wonderful, one family. They wake up and they go to the fields, pick flowers, string garlands out of mustard and rose, put them in a little basket on their head, and one of the sons walks and sits by Bunky Bihari and sells the flowers. As in the morning, they're cooking outside. Bijbasi wrote these in the suite. Oh, we just sat down and they just fed us. Fresh milk made into sweet rice from their cows and hot puris. And they didn't want to accept any money. Beauty of Vrindavan. Anyway, Satyabhama, even though she has that contrary love, and that contrary love is for the pleasure of Krishna, it has nothing to do with egotism. It has everything to do with love and devotion. But somehow she's realized that she's gone too far, and she's Krishna's called, and she's hiding. She's filled with a little shame. There's something wrong, a little fear. And that's bhava for Krishna. Her shame, her fear is just emotions that are increasing this sense of devotion to Krishna. That you should be pleased and happy, and that is my happiness. If you love someone, your happiness becomes their happiness, and therefore you become a servant of their desire. And you enjoy as much as them, although that is not your objective. It's such a beautiful thing to have bhava or devotion in one's heart. Another person's smile is your happiness. When one has devotion in his heart, another person's smile is their happiness. So that's the mood of a Vaishnava, and that's the mood of a Vrindavan. And therefore, all these emotions are just churning. They churn from the ocean of their desire for the pleasure of Krishna, which again is a universal pleasure. It's like the water that is poured on the root is the nourishment of the whole tree. So she's hiding, but Krishna noticed her. He noticed by her fragrance. Because these gopis and these queens, they're manifestations of intense love for Krishna. And therefore, everything about them is for Krishna par excellence. So they love Krishna. They want Krishna to have nice sensual experience. And therefore, they're fragrance is the supreme fragrance. The supreme fragrance in the material world is called aguru. If you get the finest aguru incense, it's extraordinary. So her fragrance, which is an expression of her love for Krishna, he smells. The Supreme Lord said, a weak-minded satrajiti Just as you grew angry when Rukmini obtained special favors, like the Parijata flower, now you are angry at our intense love for the people of Raja. Silly woman, don't you know that I am ruled by their desires? Their love is so strong, and Krishna's love for them is so strong, that Krishna just wants to satisfy the Brijbasis. And he's proud of having this great love, this Braja Bhakti, this love for Braja and his love for the residents of Vrindavan. And that's what the Brihad Bhagavatamrita is about. It's about Narada's search for the topmost recipient of Krishna's mercy. And here it is. Krishna says, if the people of Braja thought it is good that I renounce everything, I promise you that in a moment, I would do just that. He would abandon everything. If that would make the Brijbasis happy, then Krishna would leave Dwarka in a second. In a second he would leave. Because they're the full embodiment of his of love for Krishna. Subhata Bhamanoktam Yad Ridavakyam Natan Musha Esham Pachupakareham Shakto To Mahavani. The praise offered by the Venerable Brahma was not spoken in vain. I can never fully repay these devotees. And so I am eternally indebted to them. Krishna is the all-powerful Supreme Lord. At his command are boundless energies, ready to fulfill every desire. So that's what Shakti, the concept of Shakti or potency is. That there's a reality, and that reality is personal, and it's inclusive of everything. And that reality fulfills its desires within itself by its shaktis or energies. Various shaktis or energies flow from that absolute reality to love and serve the absolute reality. So Shaktiman, or Krishna, the possessor of energy, the absolute possessor of energy, has at his command boundless energies ready to fulfill every one of his desires. So this is what Krishna is saying himself. But I cannot repay the debt of gratitude to the Brajabasis, because their love for me, and therefore the pleasure they give me, which is love, is so forceful that there's no way I can repay them, because this is greater than anything else. And that's why we speak that love. Because there's nothing more valuable than pure love. Because everything that we possess and everything we do is to make ourselves more happy. If we value something, or something is valued by the degree of happiness it can give us. So Krishna, so the most valuable thing is happiness itself, which is an energy of God called Adini Shakti. And when you have that, there's nothing else you would rather have in that, and you wouldn't give that up for anything else in the world. And therefore the simplest person could have the greatest wealth if love and devotion is fully in his heart. And there's nothing you can do to entice that person to give it up. I remember one time there was one saint in Vrindavan I was visiting. And I liked this saint. And foolishly I said, is there anything I can get you when I go to the West? And he said, you bring me bhakti. And I felt so foolish. The person is prema bhakta. His heart is filled with love. And what am I going to bring him, a new tape recorder? At that time, which was something. There's nothing greater than love. There's nothing greater than devotion. And that is the energy of God. And an intelligent person's life is geared by purifying his heart in a way in which one can actually attain that. Prema Pumartha Mahan. There's nothing greater. There's no greater artha, or something of value in prema or devotion. Because it is the devotees who give Krishna his love, and it's so forceful and so powerful, there's nothing he can do to properly reciprocate. Therefore, even though Krishna promises in Bhagavad Gita, ye yata mam papadyante tam sita, that as you surrender, I reward you accordingly, he feels like a failure in relationship to the gopis and says, napareham, there's no way I can repay you. You'll have to be satisfied with that devotion or love itself, because there's nothing greater than that. What am I going to do? Bring you a tape recorder from the West? Thus, Krishna constantly looks for small favors he can do for them as tokens of his affection. He's looking to serve the devotee. That's why one of the most wonderful things you can do is serve a Vaishnava. Because Krishna wants to reciprocate with the devotees. But because the devotees consider Krishna their superior, they're very reluctant to accept service from Krishna. Therefore, the greatest service we can do for Krishna is to assist or please those whom he loves. It's such a secret. The Parama Guhyam, Krishna says, the Parama Guhyam, the topmost secret of devotion, is you can please him not by mantras, not by fast, not by this, not by anything else, but by the service to the devotees. And then there's a reference, as Brahma states, of praising Krishna's super excellence. So now let's see what Brahma says. My mind becomes bewildered just trying to think of what reward other than you can be found anywhere. You are the embodiment of all benedictions, which you shower upon these residents of the cowherd community of Vrindavan. You have already arranged to give yourself to Putna and her family members in exchange for disguising yourself as a devotee. Oh, bhakiyam kula kutasthanam. How wonderful it is that although Putana approached Krishna with deadly poison on her breast, although she, because she came to him as a mother, she got the same destination as Mother Yasoda. So what is left for you to give these devotees in Vrindavan? If Putana got such a reward, what to speak of the devotees of Vrindavan whose homes, wealth, friends, bodies, children, dear relations, and very lives and hearts are only dedicated to you. So this is Krishna's expression now of to Satyabhama. He's explaining to her, you should understand why my heart goes out most to the Vrajavasi and specifically the gopis because of these qualities of their love, which is so powerful, there's no way I can repay them. But even for their pleasure, if I were to return to live with them, I don't see how that would help. And then Krishna explains some very, very amazing things about the nature of the gopi's love and why he can't return. You see, because these devotees who are now suffering in the intense depths of separation for Krishna have an ecstasy that is so deep that as a natural effect of remembering him, they see Krishna before him. Them. Other pure devotees whose love is not at the level of the Krishna as the resident Vrindavan, they have separate experiences of him internally or externally. But for the gopis, their depth of remembrance is so deep for Krishna. And in that depth of remembrance, Krishna is physically before them, which is why Krishna sent the message back to the gopis through Uddhava that I am there with my Baba manifestation. It is not a physical separation from God. It's a matter of consciousness. And if you love Krishna, Krishna is there fully. So he's saying, so he explains, while Dhruva so many things he explains, and then he explains that if it was to present himself in the false conception, their condition would improve. Their love is so deep for him that the separation for him is felt even in their presence. The last verse of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Is a meditation by the queens of Dwarka. Where they tell, where they're praying in ecstasy, oh, Kurata bird, at night you are lamenting. Somewhere in this world, the Supreme Lord is asleep in a hidden place. But you are wide awake, O friend, unable to fall asleep. Is it that you, like us, have had your heart pierced to the core by the magnificent, playful, smiling glance of the Supreme Lord? So they're speaking in such separation, but the queens were not actually separated. They say Ratam Ishra, referring to the night. In fact, they were speaking during the day, and they had just finished their sportings for him. So, in union, there's separation, and separation, there's union. Therefore, Krishna is saying that their love is so great and their devotion is so great that they are already with me. Anyway, we'll read towards the end. I'm going to stop now if there are any questions.
Hare Krishna.
Well, if there's a friend... Okay, Gail. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I have so many. But I will, of course, start with Satyabhama. And you said that we have two ways that we can understand, you know, this leader, what, through devotion or through tattva. Obviously, I have to go through tattva. And so what I don't understand is that, you know, she is the embodiment of love for Krishna, yet she went too far. So is that also, like, maybe in terms of Leela, her way of serving him just so that he could explain things to us, or what? How does she go too far when she is pure love for him?
That's part of her love, going too far.
Yeah. Okay.
You see, the concept and the idea is that Krishna is Leela Mayi. He's full of all leelas, all exchanges of love, that what's reflected here is affection, and that we enjoy a variety of affections. We enjoy a flavor of friendship, you know, maybe romantic love, whatever it is, parental love. We enjoy a variety of affections. And what Rupa Goswami explains, that this is just a reflection of the absolute reality. That his enjoyment is love, and a love in varieties. Now, there's different types of love. There's friendship, but friendship has five varieties. There's older friends. There's friends that are the same age. There's friends that are younger. There's priyanarma sakhis. There's friends that are so close that they can actually assist in one's romantic life. So there's different types of friends, and these are all listed in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And there's different types of servants. There's a younger relative of Sambrahma Priti. There's servitude. like you work in the government of Krishna, like Brahma. There's different types of, and then there's Prithivagorapati, that there's servitude, like a younger relative. So there's a variety of affections. There's a variety of affections that are experienced. So these are explained in the Western division of Bhakti Asamrita Sindhu. The first wave explains Shantaras, the various ways that one can appreciate God in love. Then the second wave is Dasyaras, the various ways one can serve God in love, in mood of service. Then there is Satyava, friendship, the various ways God can be served in a mood of friendship. Then the fourth wave is Vatsalyava, many ways in which one can serve God in a sense of parental love. And then the fifth wave of the Western Division is conjugal. And it describes the five bhavas in which it's composed of. And one of the bhavas is called vibhav. And vibhav has alambam, and it has udipan and alambam. Udipan is there must be an implicit, the basic cause of love is established. There must be an impetus of love. Smiling face of Krishna, seeing Krishna's flute, something like that. Then there must be alambam visha, alambam mishraya. There must be a subject and object of love. So if it's parental love, there must be baby Krishna, and there must be a shraya, an abode of that love, a lover. So there's the parents. And then there's a description of the different types of parents. There's Devaki, and then there's Yasoda. Then there's the different nurses of Krishna and the elderly gopis, etc. So it's described elaborately. When it comes to conjugal relationship in the Western Division, very, very little is described. Less than any of the relations. Very, very quick section. And the reason why is because it's very confidential, it's very intimate, it's very difficult to understand, because we have such preconceived notions that we project onto the absolute reality. Therefore, Rupa Goswami writes a separate and confidential book just explaining the fifth wave of the Western Division on what are the different bhavas that are composed of conjugal ras. And there's a whole book, Ujjvala Nilamani, and it describes the varieties of ways in which those in that relationship serve Krishna. There's those that are pagalbha or harsh. There's those that are middling. There are those that are midyu or very mild. And then of those mild, who are the ones that are mild and who are the ones that are this? And of those, what are their vyabhichari bhavs? What are their sattvika bhavs? What are their anu bhavs? And it's a very, very elaborate description. So they all have a different role. And what to speak, you know, on that level, Satyabhava is just an expansion of Radharani. So it's not that, you know, it's not that Satyabhava is not experiencing, it's not that the person of is not experiencing that. It's just in that manifestation, it experiences a different type of love that is, you know, not as forceful as the full manifestation, which is Sri Radha. Satyabhama is Radharani. So there are expansions of Radharani's qualities that are manifest as gopis. So you may say they're less, or you may say they're expansions of Radharani in different aspects. But all are required for the full pleasure of Krishna because he is enjoying a variety of rasas. So that's from the platform of Tattva. Platform of science. They're all expansions of Radharani, the gopis. Okay. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Are you still on?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Should I email you the rest? I know you want to hear from other people, too.
Okay. Email me the rest, Gail.
Okay. Thank you.
The main thing we have to understand is we're not going to wrestle our minds around these subjects. We have to serve them and receive mercy to understand them. I have a friend who's a really incredible scholar and brain and analytical mind. And one day he woke up, he had a nightmare that he was wrestling with Rupa Goswami. There's revelation. It's not that our intelligence is not used, but it's service to the Supreme with our intelligence. And in that mood of service, something, an understanding beyond our intelligence manifests. My realizations in spiritual life, they haven't come by intelligence. There are simple things that I haven't understand. And each year, Krishna lets me understand what a fool I was not to have yet understood them. They came by some grace or mercy or service, some purification. But we try with our intelligence, and we try to understand. And then there'll be some... Go ahead.
No, I mean, I feel the answer you gave is the answer I gave myself, you know, that, you know, Satyabhama's actions, behavior is just a manifestation of her love. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay. Okay, write the questions.
Okay.
Anybody else like to say hello? Ask something? Hello, Govardhan. See you next week.
It's Haribo.
And Johnny, Haribo. Thank you so much.
This is Shaitanya Priya.
Jai. Nice to hear from the West Coast, Seattle. Thank you. Good. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Please accept my humble obeisance.
Amiya, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I'm not sure if Petra is in touch, I mean, Sandra is in touch with you, but she's coming
a week
from tomorrow. So she knows that she will be here on the 14th. You know that she'll be here on the 14th, hoping to meet with you.
She told me she's going to be there, and I wrote her back that I'm going to be upstate at that time. And I'm only going to get back to the state when she is
in her training. Yeah. And the training is...
She'll have to make...
It's very intense.
The training is what, did you say?
It's very intense.
From what time to what time?
It goes from 7 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock at night.
Non-stop?
Non-stop, with 1 hour for lunch.
When does it end?
It ends at 10. Oh, when does it end?
On what day does it end?
It ends on the 20th. And she leaves on the 27th.
It ends on what day? The 20 what?
The 26th.
Well, maybe you and her can come up one day by train.
She'll have to
meet
the
upstaters.
Yes, that's a good idea. That's an excellent idea.
That's one option. I mean, if she wants to see me, but she really appreciates the shelter you give her. She's a very nice lady.
Absolutely.
And she very much, I mean, what a godsend for her. But, you know, she really, you know, she, what?
That training she's taking is very, very tough and very intense. So she needs a little care.
Good. Well, thank you for that. She's nice. Good. Anybody else like to say hello? Ekachukka, how are you
doing?
How are you doing with Valentino? She's letting you get any sleep?
Yeah, starting to. She's losing a lot more during the night now, so I'm able to, the past couple of weeks, come for the class on Sunday. So, yeah, she's doing really well, growing up fast, but doing well.
Okay. Well, that's great. That's great.
Look forward to maybe trying to see you this summer. We're going to be back on the East Coast for a while, so.
Well, when is that?
We'll be back in the East Coast from, like, July 8th or so for a month.
Okay, that's great. I look forward to meeting her.
Okay, so, I do well.
I'm with Gunagrahi Maharaj now. He's staying in the place I'm staying.
Oh, please send our respects.
Yeah, okay. I will. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hey, Henry, Hare Krishna. We'll contact you when I get back and coordinate a nice visit there. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Carl, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
That's so nice that you and your wife are listening. I heard Shastra in the background. It's a pretty steady group, which is nice, you know. It's wonderful. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I hear two voices. One is Nanda Dilal. Who's the other person? Chris?
It's Chris in Pennsylvania. Hare Krishna.
Okay, I'm getting pretty good at recognizing the voices. Okay. Okay, anybody else? Okay, thank you all. See you next week. Once you call for three, you start to send you the image of it.